Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, April the 25th. Thanks to John Munson, who filled in for me last week. And thanks to our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, who is once again here for our state capitol report to bring me and to bring all of us up to date on what happened at the state capitol last week and preview some of what will happen at the state capitol this week. I missed a lot while I was on vacation last week. More recall petitions for state senators were filed. UW-Madison Chancellor Biddy Martin reacted to reports of the lack of support for the plan to spin off the UW-Madison from the rest of the UW system. That collective bargaining case was back in court. But we will start with the request for a recount in the state Supreme Court race. If you want to add to the discussion, or if you have a question, call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
Well, I did. I missed a lot. Lots going on, as always, at the state capitol. But let's start with the request by Joanne Kloppenburg to recount the votes in the state Supreme Court race.
Yeah, basically what we were watching for and whether she would ask for a recount was whether the final vote totals after each county turned in their canvas would be within would be under a half of a percent. And if it was under a half a percent difference between the candidates, then either candidate has the opportunity to ask for a recall at the state's expense. So Joanne Kloppenburg was right up there by that margin, pretty close to the half percent, but she was in it. She was down by about 7,300 votes to David Prosser when the final canvas was turned in. And so she held a press conference last week and said that with a margin that small, in her words, the importance of every vote is magnified, and doubts about each vote are magnified as well.
We are aware of anomalies that occurred around the state. An undervote in the cities of Milwaukee and Racine, the Waukesha County situation, reports of long lines and photocopied ballots in several counties, including Fond du Lac, and significant changes in the vote in Winnebago County. These anomalies are widespread, and that, coupled with their nature, necessitate a statewide recount.
And how did the Justice Prosser campaign react to this?
They actually, they issued a pretty strong reaction to that afterwards, saying, you know, basically that now you can see what she was all about from the beginning. But they're also out there giving a preemptive reaction to this, kind of seeing that it was a possibility at David Prosser. When David Prosser gave his victory speech, his acceptance speech, which was somewhat delayed because of the closeness of the race and because on election night it didn't look like it was going to be like this, he had his campaign chair and he also had his attorney, Jim Troupas, taking questions. Attorney Troupas said that in an instance like this, given the margin, there was no need for a recount.
At 7,300 votes, there have been 24 statewide recounts since 1980. 24. The largest move was around 1,000. We are at 7 times that number. And most of those elections involved votes way in excess of 1.5 million, which is all we have here.
But while I heard there was some talk about legal challenges to a recount, it sounds like the Justice Prosser campaign is they're working together now and with the recount.
Yeah, and I don't know why those comments were made early on, a legal challenge to prevent a recount, because it's pretty clear in the statute. I mean, the legislature said that if you're under this half percent margin, that you are entitled to this. So I think now they proceed and we'll get a taste of what a recount looks like in a statewide race.
So what happens next?
The Government Accountability Board is holding a meeting to talk to clerks today, and the recount officially begins on Wednesday.
Okay. And do we know how long this takes?
Uh, I'll know better tomorrow, I guess, or later this afternoon on exactly what the timeline's going to be like.
Well, and we will talk more about the recount in the state Supreme Court race coming up after 7:30. I'm going to be talking with a journalist who covered two major recounts in Minnesota and also authored a book about the recount when in the Senate race involving Al Franken. We will talk about that more after 7:30, and we will wonder if you think it is worthwhile or not for there to be a recount in Wisconsin's Supreme Court race. Let's talk a little bit about recalls. I understand more petitions for more recalls of state senators were turned in last week.
We have petitions for eight senators that are now turned in for the recall of eight senators. Three Republicans were turned in last week. Recalls for three Democrats were turned in last week, along with recalls for more Republicans. So you now have three Democrats who are up for potential recall.
Who?
That would be Bob Wirch of Kenosha, Dave Hansen of Green Bay, and Jim Holprin of Eagle River, I believe. And they were all turned in on one day. And then on the Republican side, senators who've had recall petitions turned in, we have Dan Kopanky, Randy Hopper, Luther Olson, Sheila Harsdorf, and Alberta Darling so far. And whether there's a possibility for a couple more Republicans to be turned in, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about... are Democrats, are there any more Democrats that are likely to face a recall?
There's some deadlines coming up this week. I mean, because once you file an intent to, once you file a recall committee, basically, and you start circulating petitions, you have 60 days to turn in those petitions, to turn in the required signatures. So you got some due dates that are coming up, you know, for like Senator Lena Taylor or Spencer Coggs over in Milwaukee, Fred Risser in Madison. Those are districts that are strongly Democratic, though. So, you know, unless you have a recall where a Democrat's going to challenge a Democrat for, you know, some unknown reason, those are not going to flip. I mean, even if they were able to turn in the signatures, Fred Risser has shown an ability to get reelected, obviously.
About 80 times.
Yeah, right.
But I what about in terms of Republicans in strongly Republican districts? Glenn Grothman would be among those, would he not?
Glenn Grothman would be among those. Mary Lozick would be among those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be surprised, I guess, if signatures were turned in against those, but it could happen. I mean, you could turn in the signatures. It doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, even if you turn in the signatures, you still have to find a candidate and you still have to defeat the other candidate, even if they, you know, even if there's thousands of people who want to recall them or want to have a recall election. It's not a given that seat's going to flip. So a Glenn Grothman would probably have a pretty easy time defending his seat on this issue. But that's not to say that signatures couldn't be filed against him.
Well, I've heard, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, that the conventional wisdom has it, based on the districts and vulnerabilities of the candidates, that the most likely to face a possibility of recall would be Democrat Jim Holprin in Eagle River, Republican Randy Hopper of Fond du Lac, and Republican Dan Kopanky of, is it Eau Claire or La Crosse?
Right. I mean, just by the numbers, if there's one Democrat who's in danger by the numbers, mm-hmm. in terms of the results from the last election and their 2008 election, Holprin's the only Democrat who had a close race in there. I mean, Dave Hansen rolled to victory. So did Robert Wirch. Last reasonably close race that Senator Wirch had was in 2004 against now RNC chair Reince Priebus. So they've both done well in the last couple elections. Holprin, like I say, is the only one who's had a close race. As far as the Republicans go, Randy Hopper had an extremely close race in 2008, so it's natural to look at that as going to be one of the competitive seats. Dan Kopanky did pretty well in 2008, but he has one of the strongest. I mean, he's basically representing a Democratic district in many regards. Went very strongly for Obama. That's a type of seat where, because of the vote that he took, he'd be in a tough shape potentially. And then beyond that, you know, who knows? Because, you know, the Democrats have produced poll numbers that suggest that people would be interested in a recall in someone like Luther Olson's district, and the signatures are turned in there. But Luther Olson's never really had, I mean, he's never really had any trouble getting elected up there. He didn't have an opponent last time. He'd been a pretty popular guy.
But you have to also,
he does have an opponent in this recall election. Fred Clark of Baraboo has already said he's going to run, assuming that all the paperwork runs through and these things happen. One of the other seats to watch in all this is Alberta Darling's seat in River Hills. She had a close race in 2008 against Sheldon Wasserman, and so all the papers have been turned in against Alberta Darling. And again, none of these have been finalized, mm-hmm. but the signatures have been turned in. There's no declared candidate against her right now. A couple of possible names would be her 2008 opponent, Sheldon Wasserman, or Sandy Posh, the state representative who replaced Wasserman when he left the assembly to run against Darling.
Yeah, and again, this week, deadlines for those recall petitions in some of those races.
In some of those races, and in some cases, they move on into, you know, looking at the list here, you've got May 16th is the latest for any of these that I see on the list here. So,
yeah. Do these recall elections then happen if everything counts out right in it later this summer? Or
yeah, and the exact date though is hard to pin down because a lot of it's going to challenge. It's going to hinge on how these challenges to the signatures play out in court, and a lot of it will hinge on just how fast the Government Accountability Board feels like it can move on all this stuff too. They're going to be asking for more, you know, temporary staff at least, and money to deal with all these recall elections. And also, it could be that these all get consolidated into one, you know, one recall date. That's what the board wants to try to do. That's what I believe I heard Kevin Kennedy tell you at one point, that that's their aim, is to get everybody, you know, it's in the best interest of voters, in the best interest of election workers, to try to do it that way. So there's some wiggle room on the timelines in terms of what happens in the court.
I have to ask you, Sean, and I don't mean to throw you a curveball, but I heard in the news over the weekend a piece about the Government Accountability Board was asked whether a campaign or recall workers in Kenosha were breaking the law by apparently a bartender offering shots to people to sign a recall Wirch petition.
Yeah.
And that the Government Accountability Board had found that there's nothing in the statutes that says you can't offer people shots for petition signatures.
Right. And that's something that the Democratic Party said they're going to raise in complaints. And, you know, whether or not it's illegal, it doesn't look good if you throw that out there and you find that was indeed happening. It calls attention to that. But I saw the same quote from the GAB spokesman on that it's not illegal, but frowned upon, I guess.
Okay, yeah, it's illegal to bribe someone to vote, but it's not illegal to give them a shot to necessarily sign a petition. But that's still going to be challenged.
Oh yeah, right.
We're talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about recalls and recounts, and we have more of top headlines in the news last week. There was a development in the collective bargaining court battle, and also UW-Madison Chancellor Biddy Martin talking more about that plan to spin off the UW-Madison from the UW system. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for Sean, especially on these issues, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's going to be a sunny day in northern Wisconsin today, a cloudy day in the south, with a chance of rain this afternoon, with high temperatures upper 50s to low 60s. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, during this state capitol report, getting brought up to date on all of the big political news of last week in the state of Wisconsin and previewing a bit what will happen this week. We do have a number of callers and emails, Sean, on some other state issues, but because of limited time, I want to stick to our top happenings here. We do have an email from Charity in Cross Plains who says, maybe we can talk more about this in our next half hour when we focus on the recount, but I am very troubled about the fact, which I only recently learned, that my paper ballot is counted not by a mechanical system, but by a computer. Is that right in the state of Wisconsin, Sean, that votes are counted by computer?
I mean, if you go to an optical scan, I mean, that's a form of computer, right? It's mm-hmm. You draw a line connecting your name to the, you connect the arrow, basically, for the candidate you want. That's read by a, I mean, there's nothing mechanical about that. It's not seeing, like, a punch in a card and turning a lever. It's all a, maybe I'm defining computer too broadly there. But, yeah, there's a certain amount of... And there are computer systems that they're going to have to tabulate differently than others in many counties. So there's going to be, there's a lot going into this recount here.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about the recount coming up after 7:30. It's somewhat linked. Let's talk a little bit about the collective bargaining case, which was back in court last week. What happened?
Real fast, I mean, the Dane County District Attorney wanted more time, wanted an extra week to file briefs. Judge Marianne Sumi basically said, you know, normally I'd give this to you because short of staff, basically all attorneys agreed to it. But given the nature of this case, she decided no, she wasn't going to do that. You know, at any point, this case could be taken up by the state Supreme Court if four justices decide there to take an original action. But right so far, they have not. And so it remains in Judge Sumi's courtroom for the time being. And she said that she wants to move ahead with it quickly.
Yeah. And for clarification, Justice Prosser is a state Supreme Court justice. He is he's a sitting justice. The term or the new term begins, August 1st or
right.
something
so
like that?
Right, so it's not like we don't have seven justices of the Supreme Court right now. Justice Prosser is a justice, no matter what happens with this recount, until the end of July. So, court business is going on as usual.
I saw a headline in the paper last week that said that there was a lack of support in the state legislature for the plan to spin UW-Madison from the UW system. Is that right?
You've seen enough quotes and enough comments from lawmakers that seem to suggest that they don't believe that there are the votes for this plan to give UW-Madison public authority status. But Biddy Martin, who was a speaker at Madison's Rotary Club last week, started out her remarks by saying, you know, reports of my demise and the demise of my proposal have been greatly exaggerated. It's still alive. It's still going to happen. And that she said that she stressed again that the need for this plan, and said that when you get down to it, UW-Madison is unique in the system because it's a world-renowned institution and it's a research institution.
We bring in $1 billion from out of state in research funding. Our closest neighbor among system schools is Milwaukee, which also does research. They bring in $60 million a year. The next closest is Oshkosh with $1.6 million a year. $1 billion, $60 million, $1.6 million. Why do I make that point? Well, some would immediately say, uh-oh, she's already moving into the elitist mode. No, I simply want to argue that UW-Madison is unique in the system.
And real quick, she ended her speech this way.
I don't care if I lose my job over this, to be honest with you, because it's the right thing for UW-Madison, and I'm going to fight for it right up until it no longer makes sense for the institution.
So, strong words there. She said afterward, talking to reporters, that she was just being hyperbolic to make a point, and that she loves her job there, doesn't want to lose it, but she's saying that this plan is bigger than her.
Yeah. So when does the state budget, when do legislators, you know, get down to business here?
They start voting on it tomorrow.
Oh,
the
they do?
The Joint Finance Committee starts taking up pieces of the budget tomorrow. Nothing huge controversial in the initial agencies that they're taking up tomorrow, although they will decide tomorrow, I believe, what pieces of the budget, what policy items they're going to pull out of the budget and not vote on. So, for example, there was something in there taking away the requirement for 180 days school year that could be pulled out, but that hasn't been officially voted on tomorrow. I think that, or that hasn't been officially voted on yet, could happen tomorrow. So that could be an interesting vote.
I'm going to take one last call, which is something I heard about while on vacation, but I'd like to get Sean's reaction. Barb in Blue Mounds, we're almost out of time. Go ahead, Barb.
Yes, I was wondering if there's any validity to the rumor that Scott Walker had in the works the financial crisis management law, and if not, what was Ed Garvey referring to?
Yeah, he called it like a martial law bill,
yeah.
And I know that the Walker administration reacted to this.
Yeah, and Ed Garvey talked about that first on your show. Scott Walker's his initial response, which was on Charlie Sykes, was there was no truth to the rumor that his administration was working on it. So a lot of people said, okay, we need to have more a more definitive answer, because what if it's being worked on elsewhere, which it appears that it is. Would you support something like this if it passed the legislature? When he talked to our reporter, Patty Murray, up in Green Bay, he said no, that he wouldn't support this. And he thought it was, he thought it wasn't democratic to have, a local government without a local representative board or local representative officials. But, it sounds like the issue is out there.
And we'll
whether
have
or not it can be molded
it.
To the point that that it gains the governor's approval is something to watch.
Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. More after the news.